Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus of Doom. Lotus, I had a crazy week this last week. How are you doing?
Did you? It seemed like everything in Florida was very peaceful since we talked.
We had a little bit of wind, a little bit of rain.
A little bit. So your yard got a little wet, is what you're saying? Like there was just a little bit of rain?
Yeah. So I've realized something. In the house that we bought is a fairly new build, and it came with these big metal shutters you could put up on the windows, and there's even screws and things like in the house that you can like undo and then put the shutters up. One, it's a pain in the butt to get them all up there, and I completely wore myself up doing it. But two, if we're gonna have like a zombie apocalypse, dude, my house is ready. Like,
so it's hurricane proof and zombie proof.
I would think so. I mean, this big old solid metal shingles.
That's some good advanced thought on design.
Yeah. So, but we were safe. We just lost power. And as you guys know, I put up one of the vintage episodes, one of the classic episodes where we talked about the Merithic era for last week in order to at least get an episode up. But we had to push back our patron chat. And now we're able to do our patron chat with a house full of our patrons. I'm going to read out everybody's name. I'm just going to go through a list, and then at the same time, everyone say some form of hi or hello, all at the same time. So here we go. We've got Rob the Princess, Ben of Temeria, Gigi Coco, Falcon in a Box, Bennett, Siege Bro, and T-Rex. Welcome, everybody. That was amazing. It gets better every time.
That was beautiful.
So guys, we are talking this week about, well, I think this is a really cool idea for a topic, because usually we get kind of specific and nuanced in things, but this one I think is going to get a lot of different reactions. The question is, why are you obsessed with the Elder Scrolls? It seems so simple, and yet as I was thinking about it for myself, there's some very specific reasons, and I don't know that everybody shares the same reasons that I have. I think we all probably have different perspectives on this. So let's go ahead and kick this off. Who would like to get started? Who wants to just kind of chime in with we got Rob the Princess ready to go. Rob?
Yeah, I just want to go first because I might have to leave early.
Yeah, so. No problem.
I was talking to my therapist. No, I'm kidding. I can't afford a therapist.
I was
talking to Shia Gorath.
Shia Gorath is my therapist. There needs to be a shirt that says that. Oh my God.
Shia Gorath is my. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
You can make it.
Yeah, I just need someone to do a really cool Shia Gorath design where he's like sitting like next to you laying down on a couch or something.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like the guy who does all the amazing shirt designs. I need a guy who can design a shirt, says Tom.
Sigmund Freud already kind of looks like Shia Gorath. Yeah. So you could just like get an existing photo of him and just turn him into Shia Gorath.
Oh my God. Put Sigmund Freud's face on a Shia Gorath like image from one of the games. Oh my God. That would be amazing.
Just his face in a Shia Gorath outfit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A Freud face. Yeah. That could work.
All right. So this is why you love Elder Scrolls.
Yes, because therapy. I always get obsessed with any kind of world of lore that I can grab onto. I was really into Star Wars, then I was really into like Magic the Gathering, really into Kingdom Hearts, whatever it was. I moved to hyperfixations. It's kind of been parked here for the good last 10 years or so. I don't know. There's just so much world building that has been done, but also enough room to continue to world build on your own as a fan of the series. And you can really imagine all of the fantasy that is already been kind of narrated for you in the games, but then they've cultivated it in such a way that you can just kind of continue that fantasy and develop your own unique world, very much embracing like the Coda aspects of it. Sorry, Lotus. but like, yeah, like that concept of Coda, you know, applying your own fiction onto the fiction and just really living into that world. There's so many like amazing creatures. I love the races. I whenever we talk about this stuff, I always find a way to talk about like the less popular races, like, oh, how do these centaurs live their lives? How do the minotaurs live their lives? What about the reach folk? We don't talk about them enough. I love looking at those people that don't really get a spotlight too much, because that lets me shine my own spotlight on them and kind of create this own second fantasy within the fantasy. It's just good.
I'm absolutely on board with this. Obviously, we here at the Lorecast like lore, but beyond just the idea that like there's a lot of lore to cover, because there's a lot of things with a lot of lore to cover. But what you touch on here resonates with me a lot, because it goes directly into what I was thinking about with the role playing aspect of the games. Not only the games, but the nature of the world and the lore and all of those things. It is one of the series where you are not hamstrung too firmly into a specific character. It's even though you can play something like Skyrim and you're the Dragonborn or whatever, you can also just play Skyrim and run around the world as whoever the heck you want to be, because it's loose enough and the world is interesting enough and dynamic enough that it allows you to just kind of do that. If you want to be a Reachman, you can pretend you're a Reachman running around in Skyrim, you know.
Besides my very first playthrough, where I did want to play the main storyline and get, kind of experience the game as it was designed, pretty much ever since then, I intentionally avoid the Helgen questline. Like, once I get out of Helgen, I don't go talk to Alvor, whoever I need to talk to. I beeline to whatever I want my character to be for this. I'm like, oh, I want to be like a thief. I'm going to go to Riften. And I just avoid the main storyline. I'm not the Dragonborn, because I haven't been discovered to be the Dragonborn yet. I am whoever I want this character to be. And to a separate subject, I play D&D a lot. I love Dungeons and Dragons. I probably make more characters than I play characters with Dungeons and Dragons. And like this Elder Scrolls series lets me kind of have that same hyperfixation of like creating these characters in these worlds and designing how they look, designing what powers they're going to have, what specialties they're going to do, what choices they're going to make in the world, what kind of person they are, where they came from. And I love making the characters and role playing the characters and trying to figure out how they're going to fit in this world. And you can just do so many different options with the way they've designed these games. It's like that sandbox setup is just perfect for it.
Well, yeah. Not triggering the dragons in Skyrim gives you a very different experience, even if you just do like a vanilla playthrough. Not having the Dragonborn questline be the focus where you never go into that, the game feels really different not getting jumped by dragons like and stuff like that. It becomes a lot more grounded.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then if you think about some of the other games too, there's like Oblivion, there's kind of this point where you start taking on this more important role and you follow the main quest line, but you don't have to. Right. It's like you just kind of you don't have to. I feel like some other games and Fallout 4 got dinged for this a bit. They were like, oh, you're too much of a voice protagonist. It makes it very hard to role play in this world if you're a voice protagonist. But I think games like Cyberpunk have the similarity there where you're a voice protagonist. You're very much V in this cyberpunk world, and it limits a bit of the way that you can role play. You have to kind of brute force the role play rather than naturally role playing, because the game just allows it. And that's something that's so beautiful about these games, is that they really do just kind of let you be if you want to take that route. So let's open this up, because I have a feeling some of you guys probably agree a lot about this point. Like, does anybody feel like this is absolutely one of the reasons why I'm obsessed with these games?
And oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ben, you want to tack on to this? Like, how does this mesh with your perspective and what you wanted to share?
So not only do I get like really deep into the lore of things when I play literally anything, but diving into like the role playing aspects, it to me, like, it also helps with it being like a true fantasy setting like D&D is, just like how Rob was saying how D&D, it's a the actual one of the few games that you can make your own character besides being like an actual D&D game, to where you can actually live in the world and be yourself and not be, like you said, a voice protagonist.
Right.
And right. Or have a set path that you specifically have to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Even ESO does it pretty well. You're the Vestige, but that's kind of just a title. And if you don't do certain things in the game and you play whatever quests you want to go do and just kind of go around the world, you can kind of put that to the side pretty easily. Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Rob knows, I play a bunch of Elder Scrolls, ESO and everything. And
not enough.
Not enough. I know. I need to get back more into it. I agree. But I just go off and do my own stuff. I do the story quests of each expansion, but like I mainly kind of like go back to do Radiant quests with the Dark Brotherhood and try to get all those motifs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else on top of this for you, Ben, that like
it's also with how it being a not only a medieval fantasy setting, it's also dark fantasy. And that's what really gets me. I really like anything dark fantasy wise. You know, my name alone, I'm a huge Witcher fan, as you know. I just love like the dark and gritty stuff when it comes to that. It's not the norm.
Yeah,
like of fantasy.
It's also very dynamic depending on which culture you're talking about and where you're going. Mm-hmm. Some places are a lot more dark fantasy. Some places like Morrowind are just sort of like wacky, like it feels like an alien planet, right? But then you go to a place like Somerset and it feels very much high fantasy with like the big towers and the high elves and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm. And with Elder Scrolls, depending on what game you're playing or if you're playing ESO, depending on what area you're in, it feels a completely different environment, completely different game in general because of each style of each race and or what region you're in,
or even the stories being told. Like sometimes the stories
you're going to experience.
What, say that again, Rob.
I said the flavor of racism that you're going to experience.
Yeah, right. Well, sometimes it's really dark. Yeah, sometimes it's really dark stuff, like enslaving the Khajiit or the Argonians and maybe eating them. You know, but then sometimes it's like it's like in court politics, like High Isles and the stuff that we went through recently with that.
Yeah, or the Gray Quarter, where it's like, oh, okay, so now the oppressors are the oppressees in this one, and it's like, yeah, it's. It definitely mixes up from game to game, region to region.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of diversity there. So, all right. So Rob and Ben, big on the lore aspect, big on the role playing aspect and how those two things kind of mesh together. I like that combination. That sounds awesome. Anybody else feel like, yes, that is absolutely the reason I love these games. Bennett's raising his hand.
Yeah. So I'm going to piggyback off that. The role playing aspect and just like how vast the lore is, it helps you. And kind of tying back to Rob's original therapy thing, like when I'm playing Elder Scrolls, I feel like I'm kind of escaping from my everyday life, which I love my everyday life, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's a little plain. But you know, when I'm running through Tamriel, like I'm having fun, right? I'm doing something different. I'm fighting dragons, right? So it's just a good escape for me.
Yeah, you know what? This is one of those things I realized as a teenager when I realized that when I first became obsessed with like the Lord of the Rings, right? This is before Elder Scrolls was really a thing, or before I was aware of it. And I'm very big in the Lord of the Rings. And there was a part of me I realized that like yearned to live in that world. Like, wouldn't it be so cool to live in this fantasy setting, this fantasy world? But then there's another part of me that like one day thought about it and I was like, that's terrifying. Like, there's a lot of terrible things that happen in that world. That's a very dangerous place. I probably wouldn't last very long there. But yet, the feeling of it being so different from our everyday lives, I totally get what you're saying. It's an appeal. Even if it's dangerous and terrible, Lotus and I joke about this all the time. Like, the lives of the people in Tamriel are horrible. Most of them die violent, terrible deaths. Like, but yet it's still different enough from what we experience here and exciting and adventurous and interesting, you know? So I totally get where you're going with that, Bennett. So yeah, anything else you want to add on top of that one?
I remember when I first realized I was kind of obsessed with it. It was like my first playthrough. I was going to say this, like, start my point, then I was piggybacking off of it.
Sure.
I got the game like when it came out. I was in middle school at the time. So,
you're talking about Skyrim?
Skyrim. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Skyrim. I'm just a little bit younger than you, Tom. So
just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Couple months.
And yeah. I remember I got the game and I started playing it and I just like couldn't stop. It was like Christmas break. I got it for Christmas. So I just played it for like 15 hours straight, like didn't sleep or anything.
Oh, that's amazing. Xbox
was connected to my light switch. And my brother like walked in and I turned autosaving off because I just wasn't thinking about it. So it was my first playthrough. I've grinded for like 14 hours, just have not stopped. My brother walks in and just like turns the light switch off. I just lost it. Like I was like fighting him. And then I was like, wow, I might have a problem. I've never played a game like that before.
Also, don't plug your consoles into your light switch.
I was like 11.
I know, right?
Yikes.
It was the only free plug. So.
Oh, my gosh.
That story sort of hurts my heart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're dropping the F's in the chat.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I can't imagine.
I was still figuring out how to play at the time. And then after that, I was like, oh, well, I can just level up really fast if I spam my muffle spell. So
if I build a bunch of daggers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If I just, like in Oblivion, it was like, just keep jumping.
Yeah, just jump everywhere and keep walking.
Right. Yep. Oh man, I bet everybody has some kind of story like that. But okay, so I totally get where you're going, Bennett. Who else wants to chime in? Who else has some thoughts or would like to go next, even if you have something different? Falcon.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go with another story. So I got my first Elder Scrolls when I was 11. It was Skyrim. I got it by doing yard work for my dad.
Awesome.
He thought I was talking about Skylanders.
Very different.
Basically the same thing. Very similar. It's pretty much the same thing.
Mom is the one who took me to the store. I got Skyrim. Even the cashier brought up, this game's rated M. Got home. Dad saw what the game actually was and was pissed.
He
had no idea that's what I was getting, but he said that's the game he agreed to, so he let me keep it.
Good job, Dad.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's solid.
Props to your dad.
Just out of curiosity, before you go on though, did he think Skylanders required an ID?
Well, he's not the one who took me. It's my mom who took me.
Okay, because I was like,
so she was like outside of the deal.
Gotcha. Because it was like, oh, can I make sure you're 18? Wow, the Skylanders game's pretty violent.
Alcohol use, violence. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Innuendos. What are these dragons doing?
Spyro really turned.
These cartoon dragons are a little bit racier than I expected.
All right, sorry. Go on.
But then, why I'm obsessed with the games? That's how I got into just Bethesda in general. Was getting Skyrim that time. Why I'm obsessed with them is, the lore. It's not just the big stuff. Obviously, Alduin, Dagothor, that stuff's cool. I like the small stuff you can explore. When I first joined the Discord, I made a massive post about Augur of Dunlane. Love that character. Don't know why. I'm just kind of obsessed with him. It's just not many games outside of Bethesda give me that sense of wonder, wanting to explore all the little stuff. I've played CD Projekt Red games and I can mainline them, but they don't give me any interest to go farther outside of the mainline. Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting thing. This is something I've thought about too. There are a lot of other fantasy RPGs in the world. They get released all the time and they have similarities and differences across the board. Many of them are inspired by many of the games that we play. All of them you can look back and say in some way they were inspired by D&D. And yet the Elder Scrolls games are different. There's something fundamentally different about them. And maybe it's the love from the creators. Maybe it's the nuance. Maybe it's the freedom that the devs had in development. I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of these things. But yeah, I get totally what you're saying, Falcon. There's that something else that makes all of it just that much more interesting than the average game.
Yeah. And then also I like the role playing, like I love playing like Elder Scrolls and Fallout and being an awful person.
Right.
It's fun. Cause you can't be that in real life. I don't want to in real life, but even if you want to, you can't be this basically God who is just out to ruin people's life. Mm-hmm. And something about that's fun.
Yeah, a lot of people have a hard time doing that even in those games, though. Like, they just have a hard time. Like, they're like, oh, I'm going to do an evil build. And then they get, like, an hour or two into it, and they're like, oh, this just feels bad. It feels wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
my college roommate had that problem. He was just like, dude, you're a monster. I was like, no, I just want this item, so it's mine. Yeah. And he's like, dude, I feel bad watching you do this. I'm not even playing. I was like, whatever. These are my things.
Only games I can't be awful in is the Walking Dead games. I can't be mean to Clementine.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Well,
I've seen people do like evil playthroughs of that, and I...
Ugh. Oh my God.
I can't do that in the Walking Dead, but no.
To bounce back to what games. You were saying about like what sets it apart, I feel like, in my opinion, what sets it apart was that back in Elder Scrolls 1 when they first kicked it off, they went big. They already started with a full world and had all of this deep, expansive lore for every culture right off the bat. It got more extensive as it went on. But like, I think that's really what set it apart, is they had all these vast different cultures and fully built out world just right off the buck. It was just immediately. And I feel like that really put them astride instead of having like this one culture and all this one world, and instead it was like just a huge start. I feel like that really set them off.
Yeah, and it very thoroughly got adjusted and changed over the years, but but it was I think you're right, it kind of set the pace for it.
It was a good foundation to get, you know, if your foundation is that strong, anything you build onto it is just gonna have like such a better start than if you're trying to come up with the background on the fly while currently writing. It's like, well, no, we just fit it into what's already there and expand upon that.
It feels weird calling Arena the like a great foundation, but it is. Like, it's just like I don't want to play that game again.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, when Arena came out in the early to mid 90s, I was playing games like Might and Magic. I don't know if you guys know much about Might and Magic, because
Might and Magic is, if they didn't die out, I feel like they would be the Elder Scrolls.
But right.
They like, died out.
And yet that series didn't take off. That series did not go. And for a while there, you were it was more Dungeons and Dragons-esque in that you had a party of characters and you adventure around the world. And they had this really, what seemed like, for, you know, kid me, thought out world with a bunch of lore and those kinds of things, and then you ended up with these spin-off games and stuff like that, but it just didn't take. Whereas the Elder Scrolls stuff, and I think it all comes down to Morrowind being a success, and then Oblivion being a bigger success, and then Skyrim being a huge success, and then now Elder Scrolls Online. But up until that point, things were kind of like, they're just going game by game, maybe we can get another one out, you know. But I think maybe you're right, maybe there's something in the core of it, in that seed at the beginning, that was different enough, and it didn't just feel like rehashed Dungeons and Dragons.
I agree with your point on Morrowind, but like on that same point, there's no way Morrowind would have ever happened if Arena wasn't done the way it was done specifically.
Right, yeah, I'm totally agreeing with you on that. Yeah.
Arena walked so Morrowind could run.
Right,
That's the best way to do it.
Plus, I think with Bethesda themselves in general, like their writing team had everything fully fleshed at the get-go when they made Arena, I feel like. At the time, obviously.
I mean, during development, they would have been writing everything out.
As we get now, like, they have a full department in Bethesda specifically with the lore and the stories.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
The fact which that is
Bethesda has a literal position on their, like, payroll called Lore Master as a literal title is like, wait, that's real? Like, I could put that on a resume if you,
so you
if
fly you, on that wall,
right? It's like, what a wild title to have in a, like, I want somebody to have that on their resume when they go somewhere else. It's like, oh, what was your previous point? Oh, I was a lore master. It's like, what?
I would put that on my resume. That'd be the top one,
right?
Just actually, it'd be my whole resume.
Just your whole resume, lore master.
Yep, lore master.
Well, guys, I hate to interrupt. I'm gonna head out. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for being here. Have a good rest of your night. Really. I'm glad you made it.
Mind if I give my shout outs real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Please check out Sky Oblivion. I'm a dev on the team. We always need to help if you can volunteer. Check out my Twitter, Rob the Princess. Come play ESO with me. I'm a guild officer for Tom's Guild of the Lorecasters. So we try to run events all the time. Please come check us out. And thank you again. Bye, guys.
Bye, Rob. See you later. Actually, that's a really good break to do the patron shout outs and take our mid break. And so why don't we do that? And then we'll get back to it with some of the people who haven't chimed in yet. So don't go anywhere. All right, so everybody knows how VPN services and ExpressVPN can protect your privacy and security online, right? But did you know that there are some secret hidden benefits to using ExpressVPN, like unlocking movies and shows that are only available in other countries? So if you're like me, you probably enjoy watching shows on Netflix, for example. Well, with ExpressVPN, you can unlock the UK version of The Office, or Parasite from South Korean Netflix. Over 100 different countries. All you have to do is change your location and refresh Netflix or whatever, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. In fact, when I set it up for myself, I was surprised at how easy it was. It just installs and then loads up and works. And it works on more than just PCs, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and so much more. So if you want to access hundreds of new shows, use my link right now, expressvpn.com/scrollslore, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/scrollslore. expressvpn.com/scrollslore to learn more.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to shout out our patrons and say thank you so much for supporting. And to all of you guys, thank you for being here.
Hi, patrons.
hi, patrons. And these are just some of our patrons because we have a whole bunch of others. And now that I've gone 2 weeks without doing one of these, we've got a bunch of people to shout out. So here, we'll get through this pretty quick. We've got Jonathan W., Dylan A., and James F., and Ned L., Jake E., Harris E., and that's it. Those are the new ones. Somebody else adjusted their numbers. So I was like, yeah, this other person changed how much they're pledging. But thank you to all of you guys for the support. If you are interested in checking out all the different tiers and what you can get, then head over to patreon.com/elderscrollslorecast. And an especially big shout out, big thanks to our Daedric Princes, Dylan A., Kira C., and Noodle Al Dente. Thank you so much. And man, 104 people support the show. That's amazing. You guys are awesome. Also, we have, well, I think it's three new reviews that came in. I'll read through them real quick. This one is from Dill Pickle 004 in the US, who writes, "This podcast made me get back into the Elder Scrolls. I stopped playing after a while to being burned out, but the way Lotus and Tom dive so deep into the lore made me want to get back in just so I could find and read all the lore books in Skyrim and then learn it all myself. Thank you guys for bringing the love of the Elder Scrolls back to fruition for me." You're welcome, Dill Pickle, and thank you for supporting the show as well. Also, we have one from a Canadian friend. Dill Pickle's from the US. Our Canadian friend is Mercurio 1978, who simply wrote, "Love this show. 5 stars. Great lore podcast with fun and very knowledgeable guests." That would be you guys. You guys are fun and very, very knowledgeable. So thanks for being here. Thank you so much, Mercurio. And then we have Gage Kookie from the United States, who writes, "Great show. 5 stars. Every Monday I go into work and check this podcast to see about any new uploads. Rarely am I ever disappointed. Smiley face. Always am enjoying every episode of lore. Also love listening to the game shows too. Love the robots and Lotus combo. You guys bounce off each other. Great. Anyways, thank you for being there when I start my work week with TES lore and your Fallout lore cast. Much love to Robots and Lotus. Thanks for doing what you guys do. Awesome. Thank you, Gage. And thank you for anybody taking the time to go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review and a rating. And if you do that with words for the review, we'll read it out on a future episode. Also, if you leave a reading on Spotify, that helps as well. Both of those things are super helpful for making sure this show gets out there for everyone. But that's what we got for the mid-break. Thank you guys for your support again. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, here we are. We're back. And who would like to chime in next? We've got a few of you guys who haven't chimed in yet. What makes you so crazy about them Elder Scrolls? Yo, anybody want to go? T-Rex is cracking up. Oh, Gigi, you want to start?
Sure. I think Rob had mentioned cultures earlier, and I definitely really enjoy the amount of cultures and how they do explore like the non-playable races and their cultures. So there isn't like anything in Elder Scrolls that isn't a culture you can explore and look into. And I also really enjoy how the world is built up around that unreliable narrator. So it does give it that really open-ended feel. You can form your own opinions. You can believe certain people are the bad guys or the good guys, because there's all this moral ambiguity around the cultures and how they're formed. And I just think that makes it really fun to like make characters to exist in the world and to go explore all these cultures. And it's just wonderful.
So. Yeah. So do you have like a favorite, like kind of side lesser known culture or ones that you find particularly interesting?
I guess the Reachmen are kind of fun. I just enjoy the way they worship the Daedra, because you wouldn't think the Daedra are good. Mm-hmm. But they definitely, the way they worship them, it kind of gives you a different like feel for them. And it's more about like going through trials and, kind of in tune with more of nature, and it just gives a different light to the Daedra, I think. So.
It's a rougher way of life. They have kind of this more gritty, rough world view, which makes sense with them being a little bit more in line with some of the Daedra than, say, like somebody from the Empire or, you know, one of the common Nords. I totally get that. I know Rob would agree with you on the Reachmen. There's also these cultures like like the Druids of High Isle, who are also in a similar way, much more connected to nature and that kind of side of things.
Yeah, they've been filling in the whole Druids of Galen thing quite a bit, and there's going to be more with the fourth quarter DLC coming to ESO, which is very cool, because that's just, you know, we had mentioned it, to Ben's point of it, like kind of having like a pretty defined structure, even if they haven't gotten to it for quite a while, because if you actually choose Bretons in High Rock from Arena, it refers to them as like the Druids of Galen, which we then have not heard anything about for 27 years. And now they're like, surprise, it's Druids of Galen time. It's like, wow, long burn. Like,
Yeah, the cultures are cool. Do you have a favorite like mainline race culture? Like, who's your go-to? Or do you just like exploring all of them?
I kind of like all of them. Elder Scrolls Online really gave me a new insight to Argonians, which I would never like have gone for before, but I enjoy their embracing of change. And they just kind of, I never thought I would be in line with Sithis and worshiping Sithis, but I kind of like how the Argonians go about it. So that's fun.
Yeah, their own justification.
So happy. I just see her smiling evilly down in the bottom corner on the live stream.
Sorry, I can't help it.
Sith, did you mention Sithis, my dread lord? So how do you feel about the just real quick side note, now that we're talking Argonians and their culture, how do you feel about the whole Hist thing?
Because
it's so unique, right? Like,
yes,
intelligent trees.
I guess I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's a fun kind of side information that I haven't delved in it too much. So.
Well, yeah, there's a lot we don't know. Like, they seem to be ancient and maybe even from beyond the beginning of this cycle of the world. Like there's that side of it. They're very much connected to the Argonians and growing the Argonians, and they seem to be able to communicate with them at distances. Like there's a lot of this weird mysterious stuff going on with all of that. And yet the Argonians seems like such a cool race. Like they seem like downtrodden because all the other races kind of look down on them, but they're very like capable, and yet they're still tied to these histories that we know so little about. It's such a cool, again, unique part of this like world of lore and culture and all of that. Like I can't think of a really strong synonymous group from another. I'm sure somebody can be like, oh, what about this from whatever, but nothing really comes to mind for me on that.
Histories are creepy AF.
yeah, it's good stuff. So, Siege Bro or T-Rex, we should move on to one of you guys. Do you guys jive with what Gigi's saying, or do you have a different perspective? Who wants to go next? Siege Bro, are you holding out to the end? Because I think maybe you're going to throw something against or through a wall again.
No. I won't perform great feats of violence until Talos's name again. But I'll go ahead and go first. You know, just to say my piece.
Sure.
So just to give a little background, growing up, I had two games that I played. It was Star Wars Battlefront 2, and I had Mario and Luigi Super Saga on Game Boy. Uh-huh. So the first game, like real game that I played in terms of RPG relevance was Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, solid start.
And I hated that.
You didn't like it at all?
Well, I couldn't appreciate the story because I was around 11 or so, and I just really didn't like the gameplay because I was saying, why, you know, in my childlike mind, I was like, why can't I just go over there and hit him with my lightsaber?
Right. Why does everybody got to take turns? Why does everybody stop fighting?
Yeah.
Right.
So then I got a little bit older. First real game that I played through competently was Dark Souls.
Oh,
and I fell in love with that franchise. I loved it. It challenged me just the right way. But I had one complaint about it. Why is it every time I play one of these games, I can't just see the world in its peak? You know, like what the world feels so empty. Everything, you know, is attacking me. I would love if I could just see a peaceful version of this world. And then I got Skyrim, and that was one of the most fun experiences I ever had. Just right off the bat, everything was engaging. I could go anywhere between just fighting people in a cave for bear pelts, mm-hmm. or I could, you know, go haggle at the market. Right. Everything about it was just sublime in terms of the gameplay I was looking for.
Yeah, because it's populated with what feel like real people walking around doing real things. And
yeah,
if you're
absolutely
walking down one of the roads, you're just as likely to run across some bandits or a dragon or just some dude going from one place to another place, because it feels like a real world where people just kind of live there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty magical. I think you're right about that. I think to your point, like there are games that do that. Like if you look at other RPGs and there are games with like other people walking around. But when it comes to this like kind of more dark fantasy kind of focus, you're right. Everything feels like post-apocalyptic almost.
And that is why I brought up KOTOR. Like it was a great story. But Skyrim does a lot of the gameplay and RPG mechanics just so much better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very different kind of game.
Through that, it sold me on the rest of the series. I started reading into the lore. You know, I spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. What do you guys think about this one? How do you feel about the worlds? And do you feel like that's a part of it as well? Does anybody want to add on top of that? I'm getting some nods. For our listening audience, there's a lot of yeah Falcon.
Well, it feels alive. Like you'll just be walking in Skyrim. There's a farmer walking to go enlist in the Imperial Army. I don't know. It feels more alive than like a cyberpunk. There, it's more populated, but it doesn't feel like you have those living people in it.
You also get a sense of like who that farmer is. It's a farmer. Yeah. He's traveling from this city to this other city. Like there's a little bit of dialogue that happens. You get a sense that like he's a real person who has a real mission. When you cross the street in Cyberpunk and you run across just guy walking with his way too short shorts on, then he's just dude who has bad fashion sense. That's all you know about him, right? Like you don't know, like, and he doesn't actually have anything else to do. He's a random NPC that was spawned in right at that moment as you got close to that intersection. Whereas the farmer dude is a random NPC who gets spawned in, but he's one of a number of potential NPCs that actually have a real purpose, and they feel like they already lived in that world. Like he would have been down that road doing his thing whether you were there or not. And I know that's an illusion because it's a video game, but you're right. It just makes it feel more real. Yeah.
Yeah. Since this is, I enjoy this episode, like these episodes, because generally you and I don't need to talk that much, except chime in, Tom. But you know, to that point, like that I've said before on, you know, other podcasts and stuff like that, where it's having this setting and like this world that I can just like, basically it's like, here's a world where you kind of have like a set of rules to an extent, but just do what you want here. That has always been like, oh, this is a really neat world that I can just literally run amok in if I feel like. And that got me hooked because I had never played anything like this until I played my friend's copy of Morrowind when I was like, what's this weird thing? And he was like, you probably won't like it. And I was like, well, can I shoot stuff? And he was like, no. And he's like, it doesn't involve footballs or anything like that. And I'm like, oh, well, whatever. And inside Neen, because Morrowind was my first game, I killed the first person that I was like, I want this person's house. And he's like, well, then just take it. I was like, wait, really? He's like, yeah, you can literally do whatever you want. I told you, it's just kind of weird. So
this is your villain origin story.
Yeah, no, it's my villain origin story. Cause yeah. I was like, all right, so I killed the person.
So I can just kill people and take their stuff. I never thought about that.
I was like, wait, so does the stuff like despawn? He's like, no, dude, I'm telling you, you can just do whatever you want. I was like, all right, whatever. So I just started stealing everybody's like skooma and sujama, and I just filled up the house. And I'm like, dude, you can just place it on shelves and it just stays here. Like I can leave and it doesn't go away. And he's like, yeah. I was like, fantastic. This is my life's work. I'm just going to turn this into like a drug den. And that was how I started Morrowind for like, I don't know, 40 hours or something.
And Lotus says that he has a full-time job, but I think he's still just filling that house full of skooma.
Yeah, no, it's look, if my Xbox still turned on the OG one, I probably would still keep that save file.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, we got to move on because we're getting close to the end of the show, and we've got T-Rex still to chime in.
Yes.
T-Rex, share your love of Sithis. Is that why you're obsessed with Elder Scrolls?
No. So I started out actually with Oblivion, and I want to say my dad bought it when I was in like late elementary school, so like maybe fifth or sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And then
I had the same experience with my daughter, by the way, because I was playing it and she was like late elementary school, and I've told this story before, but she came by the computer one day as I was playing, and she was like supposed to be going to bed or something, right? And I was like waiting till she was in bed, and I paused the screen, and there's my cat, my Khajiit, in like ninja outfit, right? And she's like, oh, what's this? What is this? Who's this cat guy? And I was like, oh, that's my ninja kitty. And she was like, what? Like it became like immediately she was like, oh my god, this must be the best game ever. You can be a cat and a ninja at the same time. And I was like, yeah, okay, one of these days I'll show you.
Yeah, so
sorry, but go ahead with your story.
My dad, like, I came home from school and my dad's just like, hey, look at this game that I bought. And I was like, oh, okay. And I tried it. The zombies kind of freaked me out at first, you know, when you're in the sewers and you're like trying to get out. So I didn't get very far the first time, but you know, the next time I played it, I got a little farther and farther. But I didn't actually complete the game, like the main quest, until like years later. But then my dad bought Skyrim, and that's when I kind of really like dove deep. And I don't know, aside from World of Warcraft, this is the only like fantasy game that I have actually like deep dove into, mm-hmm. and like stuck with, and I love everything about it. I love the lore. I love the fact that you can do whatever you want. Like a lot of other people were saying, the cultures are amazing. Like, just, I literally love every aspect of this series of games, and I cannot wait until Elder Scrolls 6.
So your answer is
driving me crazy.
Your answer is all the things. I love all the things.
And so going back to the Sithis thing, like my love for Sithis and Nocturnal didn't even really show up until Skyrim, because I didn't even know about that stuff when I was playing Oblivion. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't get that far into it, like I said, until years later. But I think by the time it had only been a couple years and Skyrim came out, and then my dad bought it for PlayStation 3.
Oof, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and maybe. So that's kind of, I say that's my true start, mm-hmm. In the franchise. And then when the PS4 came out, I bought myself one, and well, not when it came out, but like a few years later, but when ESO came out, that's when I bought a PS4, and that's specifically what I bought it for.
Nice.
So yeah.
That's great. I love stories where like kids, like spending time with your kids or spending time with your parents playing games is not time wasted. I had a conversation, we had to get together with a bunch of other families that live in our neighborhood a few weeks back, and one of them, like, they found out, like, oh, you do podcasts, what about video games? Oh, that's cool. And a lot of these other families nearby us have very young children. And one of the dads was like, you know, I'd really like to get back into games again, but I don't know. I used to play a bunch in college, but I don't know if my wife would be into it. But maybe I can justify it if I play with the kids, you know, like this kind of conversation. And I was like, no, you absolutely, like, not can I justify it because I'll play with my kids.
Yes.
You absolutely should buy something, a console or whatever. And then get games you can play with your kids, because that's a bonding thing, and your kids will remember it for the rest of their lives. It will create moments between you guys. You'll have opportunities to teach them things through the stories and through the things that are going on. And then it's something that you guys can enjoy doing together for the rest of your freaking lives, you know? Like,
oh yeah. Like video games have been a part of my life literally since the day I was born, because my dad, all about video games. Like when I was growing up, we had literally all of the PlayStations from PS1. PS1 and on, we had one. And I mean, I would play, what was it, like Putt-Putt? I don't know if you guys remember that game.
It has a funny little cartoon guy.
Yeah, it's a little car.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there, I would play Road Rash. There was with the clown truck.
Oh, with
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal. Yeah, Twisted Metal.
I would play that. Like Crash Bandicoot, Spyro, like all of these games were like a part of my life. And then, but they weren't games that I could like really dive into. And I mean, Elder Scrolls is just going to be a part of my life for the rest of my life. So it is what made me a nerd.
it's awesome. Like these are definitely things that are worth bonding with your parents or with your kids. And I've tried doing both, as you've seen me play Skyrim with my mom. So it's very much a thing. But man, you guys have so much cool stuff. Anybody else want to chime in before we wrap this up? Falcon, I know you're unmuted. Do you have something you want to say? Yeah.
It's the video games of parents. That's why I have just an obsession with video games, is my dad showing me games through Mario Kart 64.
Mm-hmm.
just me. That's like one of my like early best memories is sitting down and playing that with him for as long as he'll sit down with a 4-year old to play games.
Right. And at 4 years old, you just bounce off the walls back and forth.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Not actually playing the game, but it's fun.
Right. Right. Or here, hold the controller. You get this controller. Yeah, I get this controller. Like, and you don't know you're not playing it for a while until you get old enough to realize that my buttons aren't doing anything. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, and I know a number of people have chimed in and said things like, man, it's so great that you get to do this with your mom or get to do this with your kids. I wish my parents would have done this with me. And, you know, for people who haven't had that opportunity, I'm sorry. Like, maybe you'll still get that opportunity. Maybe not. But if you do have kids or plan to have kids in the future, it's don't wait. Don't wait. Play games with your kids. I mean,
it seems like it's becoming so much more normalized now that it's just like, yeah, video games used to be like, I used to always joke that it was like, oh yeah, it's my nerd hobby. And now I say that and people are just like, who the hell doesn't play video games? And right. I'm like, yeah, I guess it's not really that nerdy anymore. It's just kind of like, cause nerd culture became like such a normalized thing between comic books. Like
the nerds won.
Yeah,
we won.
The nerds won, so now it's not nerdy. Now it's like weird if you're not into any type of nerd thing. It's like you don't like video games or anime or comic books or it's like you're gonna have something.
Yeah,
like,
if the nerds didn't win, then Amazon wouldn't have spent $1 billion on a Lord of the Rings TV show. I mean,
listen, I turned my husband into a nerd. Like, I got him playing Skyrim. I got him into anime. He used to be the typical jock because he was from small town in Idaho. He used to be the typical jock, and now he's like completely like 180.
One of us.
Yes. All I will say is being a nerd in video games is my day and night job.
Me too, man. Me too. Well, guys, thank you for joining us. This has been an awesome conversation as usual. And I say this every time, but this is the height of my month. And I'm sorry we had to push it back a week, but I'm glad this worked out. Let's go back through. And if you have anything that you want to shout out, any projects that you want to share with other people, ways that they can check out what you're doing, or just ways they can get a hold of you, then feel free to share. Let's start with Ben. Ben, I know you got some stuff.
I got a lot of stuff. You know, you can follow me on Twitter at Benetamaria, but you can also find me and I am one of the hosts for Holocron Histories, where we go in the deep dive of the canon and the legends of Star Wars and go over the differences. And then I just recently started a new show called the Wizarding World Lorecast, to where we go into a deep dive in the Harry Potter universe and all the lore into that. And you can find both those shows on Twitter, Twitch, and on the Robots Radio Discord.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, go check out those shows. There's links on robotsradio.net if ever you hear somebody say something on one of these shows and you're like, wait a minute, where would I find that? Robotsradio.net has links to all the different shows. So thanks, Ben. Thanks for joining us. Gigi, you got anything going on you want to share?
I have like no online presence, but I do play Elder Scrolls Online a lot on PC. I'm at GG Coco on there. I do take part in the Lorecaster Guild events, so those are super fun. Highly recommend joining if you can. But that's about it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And Falcon, you're next. You got anything cool going on?
Still working on that game I've brought up before. Really more of a playable novel. I'm a decent programmer, but a much better writer.
Cool.
It's coming along. It's mostly, like I said, just story. There's some stuff that is playable, but that will come in the upcoming months, actual stuff to do.
Yeah, well, keep us posted, because I'm sure as it gets closer, you'll be closer to making it available for everybody. If people wanted to reach out, how can they reach out?
I am Falcon with a box on, or Falcon with a box if on is too long, on pretty much everything.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us and good luck with your project. That sounds awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Bennett, what do you got going on?
Yeah, so nothing too much going on. If you want to reach me, you can ping me on the Discord. It's bfree1240 is like my handle on that. other than that, I try and enjoy your streams as much as I can. So if anyone ever joins that, we can chat there. It's a great time every single time you stream. So.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I haven't been able to do so much this last week because of the whole power and hurricane situation, but I plan to be back tomorrow. So
I'll probably join. Might have to leave for a meeting or two, but I'll join while I can. While
I'm getting in the way of your work. Awesome. Thanks for being here. And then we've got Siege Bro. You got anything going on, Siege Bro?
You know, usual. Same as GG, no online presence, nothing like that. However, I will point out that in one of our previous shows, Ike said Happy Vengeance Day far too early. Well, we agreed that the online event took place on September 13th. So happy past Vengeance Day.
All right. Happy past Vengeance Day. Awesome. And T-Rex.
Hello. Yes, I am on Twitter, T-Rex. There's some numbers in there. I don't really remember what they are right now. And I'm in the Discord. I am going to get back into ESO once the DLC comes out. I'm currently playing a lot of Wrath of the Lich King Classic because, you know, it just came out. So and last but not least, I have an interview tomorrow, probably while you'll be streaming. I'm going to be interviewing for a forensic investigator position.
Wow.
Sweet.
Good luck. Yeah. That sounds awesome. Awesome. Yep. Stuff. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. That's great. That's great. Man, Lotus, I can't wait for the new content for ESO. I always love new stuff, but
yeah, no, I'm very excited for the new stuff. Also, to anybody who doesn't know, there's an event going on where it would be nice if you help, but if you want to just mooch, that's also possible. But if you get the 6 striking locales found on the map in the High Isle region, it's calculating all the players that have found it. And it's a big community thing where the idea is to get this progress bar to reach 100%. And if you do reach 100% and have logged in at some point during the event, you get a big old pile of stuff that they give out. The main thing that I'm excited about is, since I don't usually play with ESO Plus, I buy each of the expansions. One of the rewards is they're giving the next DLC away if we can hit 100%. And I think the UESP, I guess the USP, we keep track of everything too, but the actual site said, I think they're at 92%, and oof, there's like
so close,
a week left. So it's like, okay. Like,
yeah, this, ends the 11th?
Yeah, I think it's the 11th.
The 11th.
I guess I'll log on and help.
Yeah.
Logging in right now.
Yeah, just make sure you have the 6 locations. That's helpful. And again, if you just want to be a mooch, just log in and then you at least get credit for getting it once we hit 100%. So like, that's the stipulation, is just make sure you've logged in sometime before the event ends and you're granted it. It's just like a free drop in the Crown Store. It just clicks on your account, and then when it gets released, you get it. So I like getting free stuff. And I always joke, I'm not a cosmetics person. I just like stuff to do. So the only thing that I buy is real sweet when I don't have to pay for it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thanks for that reminder. Yeah, get on that.
Yep.
Get some
still
free
got
stuff.
Time. So make sure to get in there and get that. I'm very excited to see how the season ends. So far, this is my favorite chapter or year of storyline stuff. So I'm very curious to see how it actually ends.
Nice. You got anything else going on you want to share before we head out?
No, just Tales of Tamriel. We're in like a weird, there's no real way to phrase it, that it's a weird cadence. We keep trying to find a time that works for a regular schedule, and yeah, apologies to everybody who likes to join for the live show. We're doing our best to keep some type of normal schedule, but it is nightmarishly difficult. check out the recorded versions of Tales of Tamriel, because those at least come out at a reasonable time, unlike the live show.
There you go. There you go. Well, most people listen to the recorded versions anyway.
It's like podcasts. 96% of the audience. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. That's how it goes with all this stuff. Yeah. It's funny. People will like check out like our YouTube channel and they'll look at like how many views the YouTube video gets or how many people show up for the live streams. And they're like, wow, your show really should have more listeners. I'm like, you have no idea how many people listen to this on audio.
It is funny. Like it's very weird. And like, for a while over at Tales, like we had consistently been running at the same time. So many people were like, oh, we can actually catch the live show. So it looked like way more like legitimate. And now that we're like, okay, so we're recording on Friday at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
There's like a third of the people are like, oh, there's usually more people. It's like, well, how many people are asleep at
It's 1 also Friday at 1 a.m. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. I hope you're able to still get some episodes out and keep that going. Yeah.
We'll make do.
All right. Cool. Cool. And all my stuff's robotsradio.net. You guys know where to find it. And I'm also doing some giveaways this month, the month of October, doing some giveaways. Bethesda is celebrating 25 years of Fallout. And I've got some gift cards for the Bethesda store and some other items. I will be giving them away during my game streams. So you're still welcome to come hang out during the podcast streams, but this is specifically during the game streams. And I'm just going to pick some random times over the next month while I'm streaming in order to say like, oh, you guys are all here. Anybody want to give away? And I'm just going to pick random names from the audience. So all you have to do is show up. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to just be there. Just be in the room. So go do that. Check it out at twitch.tv/robotsradio. That's what I got. Guys, thank you again for joining me. This has been super fun. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Chat, thanks for being here. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time. All right, we're done.
We did it.
We did it.
Woo!
Woo! Awesome.
Woo!
Woo!
Yay!
Yay!
this is a great episode.
What if I edit that little moment right into the beginning of the episode?
Yeah.
like, very loud. What was with the weird start of that episode? That was the end of the episode.
We should do it.